Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Well, I sit about, I'm in my house here, quarantining, doing the show, and I'm about 10 minutes from the Cal campus, and joining us on the line right now is a Cal alum. It is Bill Lester, of course, the iconic NASCAR racer, and that's the thing that I think is really interesting about your background, Bill, is the fact that, you know, it's not something that you grew up racing your whole life and your grandfather and your dad, you were always on the track. I mean, you were a computer science guy. You go to Cal, you worked for HP for a long time, and it just ate at you. You had to follow your passion. Was that it?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Rick. I mean, I think you know my story as well as I do, but no, believe me, if I grew up racing, I probably would have never been a Cal Berkeley Golden Bear, but I had to go through the more traditional way of making my dream come true, which was by getting a good education and using that springboard to live my dream. I mean, when I was 8 years old, just shy of 8 years old, my father took me to a race because he knew that I loved cars and I loved racing, and that kind of set the hook. He took me to a race in Monterey at Laguna Seca, and I just loved it. But, you know, I wasn't born in racing. My parents didn't have any real appreciation for racing. They just wanted to expose me to it, and that was a beautiful thing because I knew that once I got a taste of it by seeing it, it's something I wanted to do with my life.
You know, it's funny. The other day I had a filmmaker on, African-American, and he was doing a hockey documentary, and I said, I remember, because, you know, I'm from Richmond, and I grew up, and a lot of my friends who are black saying, no, that's not what we do. We don't play hockey. And he said, this filmmaker, that he hates it when black people say, no, that's not what we do, which is dumb because we can do anything. So how many people, because you're only a couple years older than me, it's crazy that to think that it's almost like a Jackie Robinson thing, but how many people told you, no, that's for white guys. What are you doing, Bill?
Well, they kind of thought I was crazy, that's for sure, because I was successful by everybody's definition but my own. You know, a lot of people define success as how much money you make or, you know, how much responsibility do you hold or whatever. You know, I mean, I had a great career at Hewlett-Packard, and, you know, I had the six-figure income, and I was managing, at, you know, one point up to a couple dozen engineers, but I just wasn't happy, so I didn't consider myself successful. You know, for me, success is happiness and doing what it is you want to do with your life. And a lot of folks said, wait a minute, you're going to leave this successful career to do something where you're not sure you're going to make it? And I said, yeah, you know, I believe in myself. My wife believed in me. And we took a chance. We took a flyer. And I went on leave of absence for a short period of time with Hewlett-Packard after a 15-year career there. And then I started gaining some traction by applying myself, you know, just wholeheartedly into the pursuit of racing and established some great relationships and connections, which opened some doors. And lo and behold, I was able to, after 6 months on leave of absence, tell HP, well, you know, thanks for the memories. I'm going to pursue this racing full time. And that was at the young, tender age of 37 years old. So folks said, wait a minute, you're going to do that at that age? You're going to get out of your comfort zone? I said, absolutely. You know, and that's one of the themes of my book, is getting out of your comfort zone. But no question, I didn't want to live a life of, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, I felt that I was blessed with a gift of, you know, car control and just being fearless at high speed. And I had to see it through. And so I consider that I was like gainfully unemployed for about 3 years, because from 37 to 40, I was just pursuing, you know, this dream of mine to turn this hobby into a profession, you know, knocking on every door I could and meeting everybody I could, just the networking aspect of people, you know, that might be able to help me and assist me in reaching this dream of racing. And lo and behold, at 40, I became a full-time professional race car driver starting in the NASCAR Truck Series. So it's probably a story kind of like you were saying, where it's probably not going to really be done again. I kind of think I broke the mold in terms of just becoming a professional athlete at 40 years of age. But yeah, you know, when you say like hockey, something that we don't do, or racing, something we don't do, no, there's no truth to that. We just haven't really had the opportunity. It's exposure and opportunity that leads to, you know, change. And my father exposed me to racing at a very young age of 8 years old. And while I didn't really get the opportunities that a lot of my counterparts got in racing, you know, born with a go-kart to race or born with, you know, some sort of vehicle or training that can allow them to pursue racing, I had to do it, you know, the hard way. I had to basically live a different career, a high-tech career, so that I could finally do what it is I wanted to do with my life. And so I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed that I was able to do it. I didn't take no for an answer, and I got there.
Yes, and that book is called Winning in Reverse, Defying Odds and Achieving Dreams, The Bill Lester Story, scheduled to come out in February from Pegasus Books. What's it like, Bill, when you put pen to paper and you have to reminisce and go through your own history again and you know, talking to your editor? I mean, I bet you have to visit some areas you didn't want to revisit. And then also, you might find out something about yourself where you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. It was not an easy and, you know, straightforward process for me. It didn't happen overnight. It was a long, arduous process in terms of, like you said, recalling all those memories and, you know, all the people that helped me and, you know, the naysayers that doubted me, remembering some of those painful, you know, memories, that sort of thing. And, you know, but by and large, it was just something that I feel very proud of myself. It's a motivational memoir. It's not really, quote unquote, my life story. It's not an autobiography. It's just really what it took for me to realize and live my dream. You know, I don't go through all sorts of, you know, everything that happened in my life, but everything that was germane to my being able to become a professional race car driver, I had to basically go back and, you know, recall it. All the things that I saw, the sights, the smell, the feel, you know, good things, bad things. So, yeah, it was definitely a labor of love, but I'm glad I got it out there because I think it's going to help a lot of people. I think that, you know, people that are afraid to do something different with their life, even late in life, you know, people become comfortable and they become risk averse. You know, I basically just took that and threw it to the side. You know, I said, yeah, at 37 years of age, I'm going to just completely change my life. And with the belief I had in myself and the passion that I had, I realized that it was up to me to make it happen and to apply myself, making, you know, persistence and perseverance and discipline, all those sorts of things that are necessary to do things that are significant. You know, I basically recall these things and I identify like 8 specific keys that allowed me to realize my dreams and talk about them virtually in every chapter and how it was I was able to, you know, make my dreams a reality. So, yeah, there's a lot of lessons that I learned that I believe will be helpful to people that, you know, hey, don't take no for an answer. People that might have been discouraged, you can overcome these sorts of things. You're never too old to change, to do something that you might have thought you might, you know, never been able to aspire to do. All those things I think I capture in these pages. And, you know, I hope it resonates with the reader and motivates them to do something that, you know, they might not necessarily thought they could do before.
Well, and also you think about how poignant this year has been in so many ways. And then you take NASCAR with the President of the United States against the removal of the Confederate flag, which is odd. A guy who demanded an apology from Bubba Wallace when they think the mini hangman's noose wasn't intended for him, and Bubba Wallace wearing the BLM shirts, and as I said, the president going after him. I mean, it's a fractious time, but it's also hopefully a time. And I hope on Wednesday morning we can all start being Americans again and stop being so separate. But I don't know. I mean, it's tough right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, our country is so divided, and it's sad to see it that way. But I'm hoping that, you know, in the next couple of days, there will be change that basically reunites everybody. But there's going to be that faction that's going to, you know, probably not accept change if change is able to occur. And I'm fearful as to what may occur as a result of that, because there are some, you know, folks out there, there's a faction out there that really is willing to do some radical things to ensure that things remain status quo. But I'm hopeful and optimistic that, you know, cooler heads will prevail, that common sense will prevail and overcome, and love will, you know, defeat hate. But you're right. I mean, some of the things that, you know, Bubba had to go through and deal with were tremendously disappointing. But I'm so glad that NASCAR in particular was willing to listen and realize that if they wanted to be reflective of America and call themselves like America's sport, it has to be, they had to be more reflective of the hue of this country. And by and large, people of color have not felt comfortable going to NASCAR events. And the removal of the Confederate flag was a terrific step in the right direction. But there's so much more that has to occur. And so, you know, under the impression that NASCAR is making certain changes and provisions to ensure that that takes place, I don't know exactly what they are, but, you know, they definitely have my support. But, you know, even beyond NASCAR, you know, I hope this country comes together and, you know, again, becomes more compassionate and everybody is, you know, treated with regard to their character as opposed to their color. But we'll see. You know, I don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did. But, I mean, things have got to change the way that this pandemic has been minimalized by, you know, those that are in the White House is, I think, a travesty. People are dying, and there seems to be very little regard for what has taken place. The science behind what's going on has been negated, and I'm hoping that, you know, again, change will occur. But hopefully, you know, in the next day or so, we'll find out.
Definitely going to find out, I think. Bill Lester has been our guest. The book From Pegasus, due out February 2nd, Winning in Reverse, Defying Odds and Achieving Dreams, The Bill Lester Story. Fascinating stuff. Hey, Bill, thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it. Congratulations on the book, and let's catch up down the road, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Enjoyed hanging out with you.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline USA.